Chaitanya Jai Chananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. This morning we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 12, Expansions of Advaita Acharya and Gadadhara Pandit. Let's see. Okay. We'll read from verse 46. Ejashuni Mahaprabhu Hasite Lagila Bolaya Kamala Kante Prasanna Haila. Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughed with satisfaction and immediately called Kamala Kanta Vishnas. Acharya kahe ihake kene dile darashana dui prakarete kare more vidambana. Advaita Acharya then said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Why have you called back this man and allowed him to see you? He has cheated me in two ways." So what happened, just for those of you who may not have followed the last few weeks, we read Chaitanya Charitamrita every Sunday morning. This is a chapter focusing mainly actually on Advaita Acharya, also on Gadadhara Pandit, but more on Advaita Acharya, very, very close associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Advaita Acharya, somehow or other, due to some transcendental arrangement, had accumulated a debt, 300 rupees. 500 years ago, that was quite a lot. And then another devotee, Kamala Kanta Vishvas, very nice devotee, he offered, "I will pay back that debt. You don't have to worry about it, Advaita Acharya. I'll take care of the debt." So that sounds very nice. He's serving Advaita Acharya. This is very good. Lord Chaitanya heard about this and became very angry. "You are saying you are going to repay this debt of Advaita Acharya?" Because Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya says, "So, you are saying that God is in debt. He has a problem. And you are going to sort it out for him, save him. You are going to save God." Lord Chaitanya got so angry he said to Govinda, his personal assistant, "You go and tell Kamalakanta Vishvas, I don't want to see him again ever. He's a Baldia." Baldia means like a real deviant, someone who is just off track so badly, they're more or less perverse. So Lord Chaitanya said like this. Advaita Acharya himself came and complained to Lord Chaitanya, "You have been very merciful." Well, actually, no, sorry. Advaita Acharya came and complained to Kamalakanta Vishvas. Kamalakanta Vishvas was upset. "The Lord has banished me. Oh no, what a disaster." Advaita Acharya said, "Actually, you have got more mercy from Lord Chaitanya than me." Previously, in order to get the Lord's mercy, I had to do something quite bad. And then he chastised me, which is a sign of accepting a person as a servant. Because if someone is your servant, you may chastise them. If someone is your equal or your superior, you really wouldn't chastise them. At least in your right mind, you wouldn't chastise such a person. So, Advaita Acharya, can someone help them? Any doctors, nurses? Right, so yes, Advaita Acharya complained to Kamalakanta Vishvas that they should lift her head up. That you have been favored by the Lord. He has accepted you as an intimate servant. I didn't receive such mercy from the Lord. Then Advaita Acharya went to Lord Chaitanya and said the same thing. That in order for me to get accepted as a servant, I had to do something wrong. Then you chastise me. He, Kamalakanta Vishvas, he was doing something nice. And you chastised him. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, just bring that Kamalakanta Vishvas." And now Advaita Acharya says, "Now you've cheated me twice. First of all, you chastise him, means you accept him as your servant, kick him out and like that, and then you call him back. So, you favor him much more than you favor me." Okay, so that's where we are. Shunya Prabhura Mana Prasana Haina Dunhara Antarakata Dunhe se Janila. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, his mind was satisfied. Only they could understand each other's minds. These are very sort of exotic, extraordinary, transcendental dealings. Just like sometimes Lord Nityananda would come to the house of Advaita Acharya, and Advaita Acharya would chastise him. Who are you? You're just a, you know, you're dressed as a sannyasi, but you're just a reject Paramahansa. You've just come to my house to eat. That's all. And then after a bit of back and forth, Lord Nityananda would sit down and eat. And then he'd get angry and throw the prasadam at Advaita Acharya, saying, I came here expecting to have a meal, and you just give me a mouthful. Is this how you treat your guests? What sort of householder are you? So only they could understand each other's minds. Prabhu kahe, Bauliya, Aiche kahe kara, Acharyera lajadharma, Hani se achara. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Kamalakanta, you are a Bauliya, one who does not know things as they are. Why do you act in this way? Why do you invade the privacy of Advaita Acharya and damage his religious principles? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kamalakanta Vishwas, out of his ignorance, asked the king of Jagannathpuri, Maharaj Pranaparudra, to liquidate the 300 rupee debt of Advaita Acharya. But at the same time, he established Advaita Acharya as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is contradictory. An incarnation of the Supreme Godhead cannot be indebted to anyone in this material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never satisfied by such a contradiction, which is technically called rasa-basa, or overlapping of one humor or rasa with another. This is the same type of idea as the contradiction that Narayan is poverty-stricken. Daridra Narayan. So we mentioned this point, that in his ignorance and well-intended ignorance, Kamalakanta Vishwas wanted to liquidate this debt of Advaita Acharya. And as I said, Lord Chaitanya didn't appreciate that you're saying that God has become a debtor. God needs your help. But it's never like that. It is rasa-basa. Rasa means transcendental mellow or transcendental experience. Transcendental, a very transcendental arrangement which increases the wonderful experience of the devotees. But if someone introduces, for example, just as an example, a really classic example of rasa-basa in Krishna Lila, can you imagine Anyway, just consider. Mother Yashoda feels, or shall we say, Mother Yashoda is encouraged to have conjugal feelings for Krishna. Now, conjugal rasa is the highest type of relationship. Lord Krishna with Srimati Radharani and the gopis, but for Mother Yashoda, who is in the mood of mother, if anyone suggested that to her, that would just be so contradictory, because she's in the mood of mother, and mothers just don't do things like that at all. So it is, there are two moods there, two transcendental attitudes involved, but they clash. They clash with each other. So there's a whole science, actually, which is mentioned at the end of Nectar of Devotion, how if Mother Yashoda feels a protective mood towards Krishna. So there's a motherly mood and a protective mood. So this is good. These two moods complement each other. But if Mother Yashoda, just like Jatila, if she were to feel, she is generally feeling a mood of, it is called, ghastliness towards Krishna. She doesn't appreciate him. She's more or less always angry with him. So, in her case, if there was a mood of, for example, laughter, fun, jolliness in relation to Krishna, it would be a contradiction. Because ghastliness and that sort of mood, along with a mood of jolliness, they don't complement each other, they clash. So like this, Kamalakanta Vishvas, his idea, we need to pay back Advaita Acharya's debt. He has a problem, let us help him. And his mood that Advaita Acharya is God, they contradict each other. So the Lord Chaitanya is chastising him. And what to speak of in terms of people, sahajiyas, people who have some type of Krishna consciousness. Shishi Radha Radha Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sri Giri Gandhadana Kija. So what to speak of people who are in many ways on the material level, although they have some type of sense of Krishna consciousness, and they think that, yes, Radha and Krishna dance together, so me and my girlfriend, I will be Krishna, she will be Radha, and we will dance together. This is rasa basa. This is worse than rasa basa. This is just the gross infiltration of material consciousness into transcendence. But when you get these things, either improper, transcendental, or contradictory transcendental moods, or some sort of transcendental mood but mixed with some gross material mood, then this is just contamination. The infiltration of the material energy into the transcendental realm. Let us carry on. Pratigraha kabuna kalide rajana vishayira anakaila dusha yamana advaita acharya, my spiritual master, should never accept charity from rich men or kings. Because if a spiritual master accepts money or grains from such materialists, his mind becomes polluted. Therefore, it is very risky to accept money or food from materialistic persons. For such acceptance pollutes the mind of the charity's recipient. According to the Vedic system, one should give charity to sannyasis and brahmins, because one who thus gives charity becomes free from sinful activities. Formerly, therefore, Brahmins would not accept charity from a person unless he were very pious. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this instruction for all spiritual masters. Materialistic persons who are not inclined to give up their sinful activities, like illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating, sometimes want to become our disciples. But, unlike professional spiritual masters, who accept disciples regardless of their condition, Vaishnavas do not accept such cheap disciples. One must at least agree to abide by the rules and regulations for a disciple before a Vaishnava Acharya can accept him. In fact, a Vaishnava should not even accept charity or food from persons who do not follow the rules and regulations of the Vaishnava principles. So that's a very important point. Charity, of course, that's one thing. Whatever charity is given should be used strictly in Krishna's service. It really should. And if we become attached to it for ourselves, somehow or other, then we will have to accept sinful reactions. And same thing with food. Sometimes we go to people's houses and, well, sometimes, say, particularly devotees who are doing book distribution or preaching door-to-door, this type of situation, when they're visiting many people, then they may just walk into someone's house and that person, if it's some nice person, like, it's not unusual when visiting people from Hindu backgrounds, that they will become inspired. Oh, please sit down, let me give you something to eat, something to drink. But particularly, if one accepts cooked food, then there's definitely karma there. There's definitely. If one accepts cooked food, cooked by non-devotees, then there's definitely karma there. There's no doubt at all. So generally, we would only accept, except for some extreme emergency, we would only accept cooked food which has been cooked by devotees. and ideally devotees who really are following action means they are following the four regulative principles, and they're chanting 16 rounds a day. Then, to accept food, cooked food, prasadam, which has been offered by devotees like this, actually this is one of the rules in Krishna consciousness. Dadati pratigrinati guyamakyati prachati bhukte bhojayate chaiva shadvidham priti lakshanam. Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction, he makes the point. There's six types of loving exchanges between devotees: to give gifts or some type of charity, to accept gifts when they're given by devotees, to give gifts to devotees, receive gifts, accept them, be willing to accept them from devotees, to reveal one's mind to a suitable devotee, not just anyone, because you may become the subject of gossip, but to reveal your mind. If you have some problem or something you need to discuss, you can reveal your mind to a devotee. And then, on the other hand, if some devotee approaches you like that to reveal their mind, then you should listen and try and help. If you're able. So, then you should offer prasad, and you should accept prasad if it is offered to you. Shadvidham. These six activities, priti lakshanam, these are standard loving exchanges between devotees. So, just as an example, you know, everyone's fond of prasadam. One morning, Lord Chaitanya came into the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya really early, really early. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was still asleep. Lord Chaitanya came and shook him and woke him up. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was still lying on the ground. He had not even stood up, let alone take a bath and dress himself and clean clothes and really get ready for the day. He was still half asleep. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Here, I have some Jagannath Mahaprasad," and pushed it into his mouth. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to protest. "Wait a minute, I haven't even brushed my teeth." Bam! His mouth was full, and he could no longer say anything. And so Lord Chaitanya was just showing that prasadam, if a devotee offers prasadam, that was Jagannath Mahaprasad, then you have to accept it right now. Basically, you have to accept it right now. And even if you're not hungry or even like that, you're just not ready. But it's a devotional principle. However, this applies in dealings between devotees, not in dealings with non-devotees. Of course, if you happen to be in that situation, if you are going door to door presenting Krishna consciousness like that, then you could take some fruit and offer it That's a possibility at least. But definitely one should not think that, yes, I want to go on a door-to-door book distribution in the Hindu area because many people will offer me food and I will be able to eat very nicely. If I find a nice Gujarati family, they may offer me dokra and chutney and I will be happy. Or something like that. So, yes. So, when people cook food, some of them goes into it via their concentration and their attitudes and so on. The food becomes impregnated with their qualities. And you eat that food and you'll pick up their qualities. So Srila Prabhupada elsewhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he makes the point that if you eat particularly grains cooked by non-devotees, Prabhupada says, after a little time, your mind will become wicked. Srila Prabhupada actually uses this word. It's a strong word. Your mind will become wicked. Because your mind, after some time of eating such food, which is subtly contaminated like that, it'll just start coming out and showing its presence in you. And Prabhupada also applying, well, the verse, and Srila Prabhupada is referring to spiritual masters. If a spiritual master accepts some money or food from a materialistic person, his mind becomes polluted. This is a warning for spiritual masters. Some people may think spiritual masters are such people, they don't need warnings. They're already beyond warnings. But here we see very clearly, and there are other places also we find that there are statements which are given specifically to warn devotees who have that service of acting as spiritual masters rather than devotees. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a distinction between professional spiritual masters and not just professional, but cheap spiritual masters and real bona fide spiritual masters. Professional spiritual masters or cheap spiritual masters, they just want to accumulate followers. Because each follower accumulated means so much more money I have access to. Aha. Yes. Because charity, to give charity, well, as we mentioned, it is a part of Vaishnava life. So to give charity for the disciple, to give charity to the spiritual master, of course, that's part of that principle. So in that sense, if you want money, then the more disciples you get, the better it is. Yes, you'll be rolling in the dough. And you'll be able to get nice Lani motor car and big Lani house. And all these things. Yeah. So, but If you're just accepting people who are not qualified, who don't really want to become Krishna conscious, and therefore they're not willing to pay the price for becoming Krishna conscious. Pay the price doesn't mean X number of rands. It means the personal price, the personal sacrifice to follow the regulative principles, actually, and not just say you do, but actually follow them scrupulously, very carefully, and to chant a minimum of 16 rounds every day, seriously, and in your spare time, do as much service as you really can. Such a person is a candidate. Such a person can become a proper disciple of a proper spiritual master. But someone who just wants a name, everyone asks, oh, what's your name? Oh, my name is Bhakti Fred. Oh, you mean you're not initiated? Oh, what a shame. And after meeting enough people who say that, then the person decides, gee, I better get initiated. This is embarrassing. So somehow, just to get a name, just to be part of the in crowd or like that, some people may want to accept a spiritual master. And so therefore, let me find the spiritual master who will initiate me the easiest. Yeah, so these things are going on. Professional spiritual masters or just cheap spiritual masters who accept people cheaply. But then they become contaminated. They become contaminated because they take so many of the reactions of that disciple that is part of what being a spiritual master means. So it's one thing accepting reactions of some very sincere and serious person and really taking responsibility like that for them and for the spiritual master to make a real sacrifice to help such a sincere soul. But if it just becomes a numbers game, how many disciples do you have? I lost count after 20,315. Oh, well, I've got 30,000. Yeah. So just if it becomes a numbers game or something like that, and just accepting whoever apparently wants to, then the contamination and such a spiritual master will eventually become fallen. So of course we do accept donations. We don't accept cooked food. I mean, that's really, in general, very exceptional. Vital principle. We do accept money when we go out, like we said, distributing books and here and there collecting donations, but all that money is to be used in Krishna's service. And then whatever karmic reactions may be there from some business activity or whatever, however the person got the money, whatever karma is attached to the money, Krishna can absorb that. It's not a problem for Krishna. He can absorb all the karma of all the living entities in the universe in 1 second and remain totally pure. No less pure than before he accepted all that karma. So therefore, unless we know money has been acquired by really illicit and illegal means, and there's some really severe stigma attached to it, can we accept donations from the people in general? But then we see that they're absolutely used in Krishna's service. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Yes. Nice and loud, please. Yes. Well, thing is, Lord Chaitanya is speaking, establishing a general principle, and kings are specifically mentioned in the purport, that they're regarded as being materialistic. And so Prabhupada made mention of not accepting charity from kings. I don't think I quite get your point. You know, I think Lord Chaitanya is just establishing a basic principle here. It's not like Advaita Acharya is making the same mistake now as Kamala Kanta Vishvas. You know? It's the same contradiction that's coming up in another way. He's establishing a principle, and he's going to go on further to establish this principle. The point's more like that. Srila Prabhupada ki.